right, we've got it sorted. So good morning, Miss Khan. How are you? And welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM all over again today. What's up?
Morning. How are you?
Good. I'm all right. I'm good. I'm good. I am blessed. Yes.
Very, very good. Yes. So today, we're supposed to be talking about butter.
And margarine.
Yes, because you know how much times I've heard in my grocery shopping experience that everyone thinks butter should be the better alternative and that they should include it. Well, of course, with our usual traditional way of including it with toast and crackers. And, you know, you always want to put a little butter on something, whatever you eat in it. So I just wanted to clear up some of the misinformation between butter and margarine, how much is too much, if we should be using it. And, of course, I wanted to bring back in that whole visceral fat topic because, you see, the visceral fat is so important and a lot of people don't really understand how it increases and they don't understand what exactly they're doing wrong. So I wanted to just clarify that in terms of consuming butter and margarine.
Sorry, but I wanted us to define what butter is and what margarine is. Because let me tell you something. West Indian people, we cook with margarine sometimes, depending on the dish. Mm-hmm. And then there's things like cooking, golden ray. Yeah, I think those are the other two substitutes that you put in to your cooking. So is golden ray and cooking a type of margarine? Is it in the same lines?
Right. So good question. I think it's great that we start with the definition because honestly, I did not know about like, because I mean, when growing up, I guess you would just have it in your roti, have it in your bread. You wouldn't really think too much about it and you'd be eating it in different ways without even thinking that, well, this is a lot of fat, this is a lot of calories, right? So yes, butter, because people say butter is better, but then if you research it, it gives you some different information. So butter is from dairy, right? Mm-hmm. And the margarine is from the vegetable oils.
So it's
different ingredients used to make two different types of ways to basically present fat, right? Because they're basically fat, but it's just presented in a different way. So you want to, the scary part about fat and what you're consuming is understanding the saturated fat content and the trans fat. Those are the types of fat, because again, overall fat covers a lot of different nutrients, like the minerals and all that. So each, the dangerous one is pinned down to the saturated fat and the trans fat. The unsaturated fat is not dangerous. It's not as dangerous as the saturated fat. So typically, the cooking is high in saturated fat. Mm-hmm. And I think golden ray is pretty similar. So I think, because again, they're fat. But the margarine is usually said to, because it comes from different types of oils, it usually has some unsaturated fat. The issue with it before was the trans fat content, because yes, trans fat can be harmful and it can increase the LDL, which is the bad cholesterol level in your body. Mm-hmm. The same way that butter has saturated fat, it can increase the LDL cholesterols in your body, which then increases your risk for heart disease, you know, stroke, heart attacks, those sort of issues that you get when you have blockages. So honestly, fat is fat at the end of the day. You know, the same way that salt is salt, like, you don't have different types of salt, like Himalayan salt, and everybody's like, oh, I use any healthier salt. And I'm like, that's great. But salt is salt. Oil is oil.
Fats, right? Is fats. Yeah.
Yes. So honestly, again, a lot of people say, well, I prefer this, I prefer that. Okay, I'm going to work with your preference, because you'd read a lot of things, and sometimes the misinformation will kind of cloud your judgment. And because you're accustomed to using something, you get accustomed to the taste, the flavor, you don't really want to change. So then it really comes down to portions and portion control.
Now, let me ask you a quick question, though. In the presence of butter and margarine, is there a carbohydrate? No carbohydrates at all. This is just strictly, as you said, vegetable fats and fats.
Yes.
Vegetable oils and fats.
Yes, it's just fat. So when it comes to the fat category, so of course we have all of our food groups in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to that category, fat content, the fat group is just fat. And for example, avocado. And avocado is a healthy, I always say that avocado is a fat. So you have to understand, when you consume avocado, I want you to think of it like a healthy butter. Because it's literally a healthier alternative.
I think that there is a way to make avocado butter.
Right.
I could use that on toast rather than the Irish butter. And what about, I can't believe it's not butter.
Same thing.
So is it a butter or is it, as the title says, that you really can't believe it's butter?
Oh, goodness. I mean, you would want to hope that the label and the nutritional values and ingredients reflect what the product is presenting. But usually, sometimes it doesn't. And that's why I always would recommend label reading and understanding what exactly you're looking out for. So in terms of like the saturated fat and the trans fat, you want that to be a very low percent as possible, which is like either zero or less than 10% on the label. Mm-hmm. And those things are what's harmful long-term when over-consumed. So whatever the serving size is, whatever it is that you are picking up, when it comes to butter, margarine, fat, anything at all, even though it says in the front, reduced fat, less fat, you have to double check, because yes, it could say less fat, but any fat content could still be through the roof. The saturated fat content could still be 50% or more. So you have to be very, very, very careful, because again, just remember, the label, the front of the product, is just looks a certain way to sell it to you. It's a whole marketing strategy. I mean, those people who do marketing and who understand marketing, they really know what they're doing, because they could get anyone to buy anything by messing with the way that they redo, the way that they think, by putting specific things on a product, using specific colors, using specific fonts, and projecting an image that would make you think, oh, well, I'm getting a healthier alternative. But yet it's the same thing.
You see somebody now saying then all pastries bad. So, you know, all the favorite pastries that we, like currant roll, because I think you would use cooking in that. And like cheese puffs. And so all of that bad.
Well, no, here's the thing, right? It's going to have a lot of saturated fat. Because when I was, I think I was in form six or something, and I was walking down to meet my mom or the bottom, I would always pass this currant roll lady. And I used to eat currant roll nearly every single day. And if you see the amount of weight gain I was getting, it's unbelievable. And yes, it's because, again, the way that you make it, it's the ingredients that you put in it. So portion control is key. Now, if we made smaller currant rolls and you had a smaller portion and maybe a bite every day or something like that, that's actually not dangerous. That's not harmful. It's not going to add to any issue. It's just that the way that we consume it, because we have quite big slices. And I know that nobody shared with anybody. So when it comes to pastries and all that, you just have to be aware. And that's what I think is usually harmful. Like when you don't know what's in what you're consuming, you have no idea when there's no label, when you're going to a pastry, a place, and you're just buying something. and it's made there. Again, they're cooking to make you addicted. They want you to taste it and come back for more. So it has nothing to do with health. It has nothing to do with the wellness of your body. It has only to do with, it has to taste good. It has to have as much fat, but to the point at which you would enjoy it as possible, and it will make you keep coming back. Because when you take away the fat from items, from food items, the taste and the flavor changes, and you will then not want to eat it, because then you're accustomed to tasting something with the high fat content. You'll be like, oh my gosh, this tastes so good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing like with bacon, for example. Bacon is fat, you know, and eggs, and a bacon and eggs, a traditional thing. You put that together and it's like, you put oil or butter to make the bacon.
So a typical breakfast in, let's say, I don't want to call a brand, but okay, I have to. Let's say like IHOP or any other brand food chain like that. They will give you breakfast, and they will give you, not a meat eater, but the general breakfast is sausage links, bacon, eggs. Then you have your pancakes or waffles maple syrup with the whipped cream. I mean, fat pun, fat calories, carbohydrates, but it is divine though, because sometimes the pancakes nice and fluffy and thick. And, like you say, the taste and the additives in it, you know, encourages you to come and try again. Now, the question I had for you while you were talking about it, how does heat change the composition of the butter and margarine, and does that have an effect on how it is stored in the body?
Very good question. Now, again, it depends on how high the temperature is, because usually it wouldn't. I mean, it depends on the temperature. When it's like medium heat, which is usually what you use it for, like usually you just melt the butter and cook something in it and it wouldn't take too long. Burning anything is a problem. Burning anything. It will break it down, and it will. And that's why, you know, sometimes people, because I have something called Didi's Lifestyle Community, which is a closed group for members of different programs. And they post pictures of their meals so that they could be accountable and I could help guide them and give them suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I see like this black toast and it's like a burnt, a crisp. I'm like, how are you eating this? So when it's burnt, like black, and is and you use the butter and you got that sort of effect, it's not going to be good for your body, because it's like charcoal. Your body can't really break that down in a safe way.
But do you know? Sorry to interrupt. It's something that crossed my mind. Do you know that is a type of cooling for elderly? Well, it's a old wives' tradition where you burn bread and you use it as a coolant. Yeah. I'm sure someone would have tried or known that or been through that growing up. You know, once again, it's a kind of I don't want to say country thing, but it was something that was practiced by older generations. So probably they needed a coolant. I don't know if they wanted to burn the bread. I don't know.
Maybe. I have no idea. But I mean, like, if it's crispy and, like, light brown, that's fine. That's normal. It's when it's black and you're eating that. That's when it's more dangerous. So definitely the temperature is important, too. And how long you're heating it for and cooking it for, I would definitely say limit as much as possible, especially if you're at risk. Like, if you have heart disease in your family, now remember, again, it's still a lifestyle disease, because it's something you develop based on your eating habits. So just remember, if your eating habits got you there, then your eating habits could get you out of it. Right? Mm-hmm. So when it comes to heart disease, this like consumption of fat can make your blood cholesterol go up. So coming to the visceral fat, it's two different things. Visceral fat is the fat around your organs, your liver, your intestines, your kidneys, your heart, all those things. It's around, it's on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
What's in your blood is different to what's around your organs. So the truth is, consumption of fat doesn't actually impact your visceral fat in so much. It does impact your blood. And when you have high blood cholesterol, you should definitely focus on limiting and reducing your saturated fat intake and making sure that you read labels and anything that has trans fat. Now, of course, alternatives, I think, like you said, is the avocado butter. I think it's way better.
Mm-hmm.
If you do want to use something on your toast or crackers or something, avocado is wonderful. It is still a fat, but it has a lot less saturated fat than butter and margarine.
Mm-hmm.
So you could definitely use a little bit because it is, again, a little bit. It's just a spread. You just want something to spread onto your toast or your crackers, you know? So avocado is best. But visceral fat is affected by other factors. It's because anything that you eat, when you overconsume anything, your body stores it as fat. When you don't eat on time, when you skip meals, which is what we spoke about last week, the intermittent fasting and how that affects your body. And all of those things increase the fat around your organs. And of course, on the scale overall, you might see a little bit of weight reduction, which might motivate you because you think, oh, I'm losing weight, but it's not healthy weight. Again, it's muscle mass most likely. So you have to be careful with understanding your body composition, what weight you're actually losing, and then knowing how much butter you should use is really dependent on your risk factor. Because some people could really eat as much as they like and nothing will happen to their blood cholesterol.
Nothing will happen to their weight either. They just stay the same size. I wonder what kind of, you know, metabolism they have within those cells that, you know.
Yes.
Nothing happens at all.
And that's what I'm saying. Everyone is unique. Everyone is different. Using a personalized approach is the only thing that works. So when it comes down to it, I know it might be unfair. And I know you might feel like, oh, well, this person eats like this because you hear it all the time. Comparison. Mm-hmm. Everyone always says, oh, my wife eats like this and she doesn't do this. Or my husband eats like this and he doesn't do this. Or my sibling eats like this. Or my parents eat like this. But you have to understand, you are different. Your body is different. What you have to focus on is what your body is telling you it needs, mm-hmm. and what your body is telling you it doesn't need. And then you adjust based on your likes and your preferences, and you have to work within that. And that's where a healthy lifestyle comes in, and you have to try and develop that with time. Because you basically have to break all of your habits, everything you've been doing, all of the misinformation you've been carrying, because a lot of people eat a specific way because they tell themselves that it's a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
Like they buy the most expensive bread and say that it's healthy and eat that and convince themselves that they're doing something good for their body when it's really not necessary. Or they buy the most expensive butter, or they buy the most expensive yogurts or you know, fruits or vegetables. And at the end of the day, that doesn't lead to you overcoming a lifestyle disease. It doesn't. It's more about creating a sustainable way of eating for your body.
So I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, mm-hmm. can we talk about alternatives for butter and yes. margarine as spreads? And probably if, I don't know if you have recipes to make these things at home, more natural way mm-hmm. of, you know, doing that. So we could talk about that when we come back from the break. We'll be right back.
Castrokill is a selective post-emergent grass control for straight leaf grasses in broadleaf crops. Castrokill is systemic and causes no harm to vegetable crops. Castrokill can be used on crops such as lettuce, cabbage, watermelons, peppers, rice, etc. Castrokill works in 2 to 3 days after application by inhibiting growth of the grass. Castrokill will suppress knotgrass and requires no sticker penetration nor any pH adjuster. Castrokill is exclusively distributed by CAS Agriculture Supplies Limited and is available at all leading agro shops. Telephone 673-6802 or 354-5813.
This is The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
Welcome back to UNT. And today we're talking about margarine versus butter. Which one is healthier mm-hmm. and the myths attached to it. And so far, it seems like, nah, boy, the margarine, we're not supposed to use it. So much for Golden Ray We still had to use cooking because that's for pastries, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about finding alternatives to put on your bread in the morning for your toast. And what are some of the alternatives that we could use?
Yeah, and that's a good question. So again, when you're thinking about the fats that you want to put into your life in terms of your toast and what you're eating, it's not that you have to eliminate it, but it has to be well portioned. You have to understand what you're eating and how to include it in a safe way. So no matter what, it's more about portion control, combinations, timing, routine, you know, how often you eat it, rather than total elimination. But there are healthy alternatives. Like, you know, when you go sometimes to restaurants, they just give you like an appetizer, like just have that bread and then some kind of oil.
Olive oil.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, olive oil is actually very high in unsaturated fats. And it's very small in saturated fats. And that's why it's usually used as a healthy alternative. But again, you still have to understand you can't overconsume it.
Mm-hmm.
So it still has to be, like, I think a tablespoon is usually a serving size, mm-hmm. right? So usually when it comes to that, a tablespoon is fine. A little more is okay. But you have to understand how much you're consuming and what you're consuming it with. Avocado, like if you make guacamole or something like that, and you add some veggies and, you know, you mix it up and you make it a little bit more colorful, is really nice also. And I know that there's a coconut oil is a controversial topic. Mm. I feel like we might need a separate segment on that.
Yeah, because it was touted as the healthier of the oils. And now we're going through that phase of, well, it's not so healthy again. Because if it is cooked at a particular temperature, then the bonds and things, it's a whole science. I mean, know that food is part science.
Yeah.
You know, part nutrition and understanding how we balance the two. The alternative, though, I mean, there aren't many choices. I know you mentioned avocado oil. What about jams and jellies? Can we?
Yeah. And again, if you use nut butters, and again, the type of the nut is important because almond nuts are leaner than peanuts, but you could still use them also. In terms of the jams, it depends, like, it does have sugar in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it if you have it alone with toast and you have diabetes, it is going to spike your sugars. If you do put a little bit of peanut butter, it will help to stabilize it a little bit more effectively. But you still have to think about a better balance. So then adding on some eggs with some veggies, like an omelette or something like that, would better balance that off to prevent sugar spikes, for example, for like a nice breakfast, you know. You also have yogurt. And, you know, we could also make some dressings. Like, it has a lot of salad dressings that you could use with different oils. And you could use that on your toast if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
That is creamy or non-creamy, it all depends. But yogurt is a nice alternative to add in some extra healthy proteins and fats. And, you know, it also has like flaxseed oil or flaxseed, which is flaxseed. I mean, it's high in dietary fiber and it's good for your heart and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's just different types of it. Sometimes, like I was doing this recipe and I saw that they use mashed bananas as an alternative.
An alternative to what? Butter?
Yeah.
Actually, in baking, they do that. I recognize that there was a... Well, during COVID, you're looking at how to cook at home because you can't go out and all of that. Yeah. And I came across someone making pancakes. I think... She was on a roll, pancakes, cakes, and something else. And instead of using butter, she used banana. How does that work?
Mm-hmm. And again, it all depends on if you like banana, because you're going to get that banana flavor.
Taste. Yeah.
You're going to get that. And sometimes people don't like bananas and they don't want it in whatever they're making. Like, I mean, of course, if you make any pancakes, for sure, like you mentioned, that I like it. I think it has a nice flavor, and like cookies and cakes and muffins, like baked goods, it is a butter alternative. But if you don't like it, then, you know, I wouldn't use it. And honestly, in majority of my recipes, because when I was creating my recipe books, I was wondering, because all these recipes you find online has butter in it, has oil in it. Mm-hmm. Even if you buy those boxed, prepackaged things in the grocery, all they tell you to add is water, oil and egg.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I was thinking, like, what if you don't add it? Mm-hmm. So what I started to do, and what I practice and do it with my healthy cooking sessions, is basically you just use water and milk. And again, when you're baking things like brownies, cakes, mm-hmm. Cookies, as an alternative to bind it instead of putting butter and oil. And I still find it tastes good. So again, because you still add in things that have fat, like chocolate chips, mm-hmm. it still has cocoa powder, it still has fat in it. So adding on the oil is just not necessary. There's a lot of ingredients that we use on a daily that we don't know has fat in it, has sugar in it, has, you know, other ingredients that you wouldn't think about. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely like, even though we don't include it, because a lot of people say, oh, but we need fat, we need to eat it. And I 100% understand. Yes, your body needs fat, but it needs fat in a specific amount every single day. So in terms of like the percentage of fat to carb to protein ratio, right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of a healthy body composition, throughout the whole entire day, these are the main food groups that we get macronutrients, that we get our energy from: carbs, proteins, and fats. So believe it or not, carbs is supposed to be around 50-60% average, right? So carbs are not the enemy, because our brain and all of our organs need carbs.
So let's say that again. For the complete percentage of a meal, carbohydrates is 40-60% of the entire, let's say, pie chart.
For the day.
So right.
Like, yes. So for your whole, let's say, a whole calorie intake for the day, out of that, you should be getting, yes, 50-60% carbs. Because your brain and your organs need carbs to function. They don't need protein. They don't need anything else. They need carbs. So it's supposed to be carbs. Next, supposed to be fats. Fats supposed to represent at least 30%. That's average. And yes, even though you don't have, like, you don't add the butter, you don't add the oil, you don't add the margarine, let's say you're making a lifestyle change, you're still going to be consuming things during the day that actually has fat in it. You are, without being aware. For example, the chocolate. Chocolate has fat in it. So when you're making those things, you're adding chocolate chips, it has fat, right? Yogurt has fat, you know? Obviously, cheese has fat. Cheese has a lot of fat. You know, so when you're eating, again, specific things, it does have fat in it.
Then milk as well? Milk as well has fat?
Yeah. Milk as well has fat, definitely. Even those, like, all food from animals, chicken, tuna, sardine, anything, all of those things have fat in it. Then you have the protein group. And the protein group is the smallest group, even though everyone thinks, oh, we need more meat, we need meat, we need meat, we need meat. Honestly, it's supposed to be less than 20%. Mm. You're not really supposed to, your body doesn't need so much protein. And when it comes to, like, if you have pressure on sugar and you wait and wait and wait and you have it for years and it does damage to the kidneys, protein and meat increases waste in your blood, which makes it more difficult for the kidneys to filter your blood. So too much protein is also damaging to your body. So in terms of that whole percent, carbs is the highest, then fats, and then protein.
All right, I've got a couple of comments coming in at 3061065. One person says, good morning, ladies. I don't use oil, neither butter in my soup. I don't use ketchup. I use Rico for color. Rico is what again?
Rico?
No, it's a familiar name, but I can't explain. What is Rico again by? Anyway, moving on. Most things are not healthy due to chemicals in the products. I try to keep a garden for herbs. That's like rosemary, I guess, salve, and those aromatic herbs that we put in food. Another one says, blessed Thursday to you and blessings always. Oh, gosh. This one says, Miss Khan may be a little too young to remember that, Tusker, but yeah, older uncles and aunts still do it. You remember the burning of the
bread? The burning, yeah.
For cooling. What else? Let's see what other messages are coming in. Another one says, then all pastry is bad. I think I said that one already. But like you said, everything in moderation.
It's not about restricting at all.
Let's take in this voice note. Good morning.
The pronunciation is Ruku.
Ruku. There we go. Thank you.
Ruku. Yes, I know Ruku. I love Ruku. I always recommend Ruku, using Ruku in, they call it Annatto.
Say that again?
Annatto.
Okay.
It's the cassareep is, not cassareep, sorry. Ruku is our local. It's like a red pod with little red seeds, and it's a dye. So you open the pod, you put the seeds in water, and it diffuses into the water.
Mm.
And then you use that as a browning instead of, I would suggest
like
using
brown sugar.
Yeah.
Right.
No. I love Ruku. I think it flavors everything really well. And I always talk about that. I post it all on my social medias. Ruku is really good. It's really good, and it doesn't have any negative properties because you're not getting fat, you're not getting sugar, you're not getting anything unnatural, you know. It's just a red dye, and it does add some natural flavors to your chicken and all of that. So
right,
yeah.
So need to purchase some Ruku. And
you did never tried it?
No, I've tried it. My grandmother, she's one of those boss cooks. Well, was one of those boss cooks who used to use those things. Dark chocolate, does that contain fat?
Yes.
Stop it now.
Dark chocolate is great. You know, I eat chocolate every day. I love chocolate. And my store, Denise is literally nutritious chocolate treats, right? It has some without chocolate, but we usually have a lot of dark chocolate because I'm obsessed. But yeah, it has a lot of benefits because it has high antioxidant properties and is really good for boosting the immune system and all of that. But it has a lot of fat. Cocoa butter is used to make it. Butter, see? So the words give it away. it's basically has fat in it already. But it's really good for your heart and, again, not overconsumed. If you overconsume it, it's not good. But once you consume it in small portions every day, it's really good for your heart health as well, and helps with your brain function, and good for your blood sugar, surprisingly, and your skin and stress. Because whenever you eat chocolate, you release those endorphins, so you feel really happy.
Yeah.
It's probably why I say you need it every day. Helps you to feel really happy.
So, there are points in time in the day when you need to feel happy, and that is the more legal way
yes, safer,
of consuming.
And definitely.
It gives because health of the cocoa benefits butter. As well.
Yeah, the cocoa butter is the fat. So, surprisingly, the darker it is and the more cocoa butter it has, the higher the fat content. So, you have to be also dangerous. So, I would never eat 100%. I would eat like 50 and 60 is nice. You know, you're like in a chill area. But yeah, 100% is crazy bitter, but it also has... It's high amount of cocoa butter, so it's definitely high in fat overall, yeah.
All right, we've got contributions coming in at 3061065. Some voice notes. Good morning.
Carrie V, I took the advice of a doctor. He said, don't use nut sugar at all for 3 months. No sugar. And you will certainly lose weight. And I took his advice. And in 3 months' time, believe it or not, I lost more than 10 pounds. So you see, sugar is a poison to the body. Oh, sorry, not Carrie Z. Tusker.
That's
I'm
all
so
right.
Sorry.
That's all right, love. That's okay. We've got a couple more minutes before 10 o'clock.
Yes, for sure.
So let's just recap on the differences between margarine and butter. And if you had to choose, go to the grocery, You only have, I mean, you could afford the two, but you had to make a choice. Which would be the healthier choice?
Yeah, and it's, you put a man on a tight corner here.
Oh, go on. Sorry.
No, okay, so, butter is made from the dairy.
Mm-hmm.
Margarine is made from the oils. Mm-hmm. Butter usually has higher saturated fats, which is dangerous, but it has a lot of, like, vitamins. The margarine doesn't. The margarine, because it's from the oils, it's usually higher in the unsaturated fats, which is safer. But some do have trans fat, which then makes it dangerous. So I think the safest thing to do is make sure if you want a label read, you make sure that the saturated fat is as close to, 10% or less as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And focus on the serving size. If it's a teaspoon, if it's a tablespoon, you don't want to overconsume it, because the truth is the portion control is more important.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the amount that you use and how often you use it throughout the day or every single day is more important. And yes, the consumption of the butter and margarine can impact your blood levels in terms of your cholesterol, which then puts you at risk for the heart attacks and the strokes later on in life. Because when you create a habit and a lifestyle and a routine out of consumption of butter or margarine, and it has trans fat or it has saturated fat, and your body cannot manage it properly because you're overeating it, or it just doesn't agree with it, it will then put you at risk. Mm-hmm. So alternatives would be like the avocado. If you're baking, if you want to use the banana, you could use it. You could use the olive oil. It's a healthy alternative because it has way less saturated fat, very tiny amount, and more unsaturated fats. And mm-hmm. it has a lot more benefits. And then, of course, knowing your body composition. So fat, consuming that, has less to do with the fat around your organs, because visceral fat is around your liver, your intestines, your kidneys, and the saturated, blood is more affected by the butter and the margarine. So it's more about understanding that there's a big difference. And when it comes to the visceral fat and the fat around your organs, because that is just as dangerous as the fat in your blood, you have to know that it's more about routine, timing combinations, portion control, macronutrients, getting the right percentages every single day for every nutrient that you need. And it takes time to learn these things, and it takes time to unlearn it, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. So if you are interested in booking a consult, if you're at risk for any lifestyle issue, if you're pre-stages of a lifestyle issue, do not wait. We're already in July. The mm-hmm. end of the year is just in a blink of an eye. So if you want to be healthier for 2026, you need to make sure you prioritize your health now so that you don't take your health issues there. So mm-hmm. WhatsApp us at 480-5380, or you could check us out at Didi's. We're at 98 Kearney, Savannah, and Charleville. And you can find us on Google Maps and Waze for more nutritious alternatives, because we don't use butter, we don't use oil. We do have dark chocolate, which has a lot of benefits, but it does have some fat content in it. And everything is vegetarian friendly, very low calorie. So again, it all depends on how you use it, how often, what you want to include it with, and your health is your wealth. So at the end of the day, prioritizing what you consume is key for a better quality life.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much, Ms. Khan, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And next week, what shall we talk about next week?
I don't know.
about energy boosters? Those energy drinks, those little packets.
Yes, yes, yes.
We could talk about that and the effects
and
on the body.
The hidden sugars mm-hmm. in those drinks, because a lot of people are consuming things and they're like, oh, I don't know why I'm so overweight. I don't really eat much, mm-hmm. and it's like, what are you drinking?
Ah, so there we go.
What's in what you drink?
Thanks so much, Ms. Khan, and we'll see you next week. Take care.
Yes, take care.